how a person goes through life today without the love of God is beyond me. To take step after step and not know Him or be able to call upon Him is unbelievable. I don't know how people make it. I really don't. I will say to you this, I really appreciate your prayers. It's been a very, very long time since I've been that sick. I was in bed for 40 of 48 hours, I would say. Couldn't get out of bed at all. I felt like I weighed 800 pounds, which is really not my weight. So I felt pretty bad, and I thank you for that. But boy, it sure was wonderful seeing your preacher preach three messages on Sunday, was it not? It was wonderful to know that God could raise him up, and he hasn't done that in a very, very long time. I know it's been a couple of years since he's done two messages, but because he hasn't done Sunday school in a very, very long time, and it was good to hear that everything went very well. But continue to pray for him. He's got sugar issues he's fighting with, and we need our preacher. Amen. We've got to have our preacher now. Don't you stop praying for him just because he preached three messages. I'd like to see him preach that more often. I really, really would. So make sure that you pray for him that he'll get better. But thank you for praying for me. I did not feel well at all. And thank God my wife took care of me and brought me everything I needed and even some things that I didn't. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to Mark chapter 5. This is not going to be new to you. Of course, I don't believe anything is. When it comes to preaching, I'm sure you don't hear anything new. But that's the good thing about it, because we ought to preach. If we have a God that doesn't change, maybe our preaching ought not change. Amen? Amen. The title of the message today is There's a Difference in Decapolis. There's a difference in Decapolis. And if you'll stand with me, we're just going to read a couple of verses. Mark chapter 5, we're going to start right off with verse 1. Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Sunday school, I did not get one smile. Man alive, not one smile. Everybody was upset right off the bat. We ran the whole race upset. Praise the Lord. Chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always," boy, listen to this, folks, "and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones." Boy, I love this. "But when he saw Jesus," when he saw Jesus afar off, "he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country." Now we're going to stop there and have a word of prayer right now. Brother Phil, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Boy, isn't it nice to have some nice weather? Whew. Man alive, I walked outside. It was warm this morning. Didn't know what to do with myself. I thought vacation had come. Then I realized it hadn't. But praise the Lord for warmer weather. Amen. Can you think about this with me for a moment? And I know you've heard about the maniac of Gadara several times. I know you've heard about several messages about this, but I want you to think about after he was healed. I want you to think about a little bit after he had gotten the legion cast out of him. I want you to think about after Jesus had been with him. Can you imagine his testimony? Can you imagine some of the things he told? Things that maybe aren't listed here in the Bible, things that he went through. A man that had his living in a cemetery. A man that nobody else wanted. A man that literally lived his life in a way that he was trying so desperately to get out of. A man that was plagued by evil and plagued by things all around him. And let me take a moment here to let you know that I don't like to get involved with evil things. And I'm not talking about the normal evil things you talk about, but I don't like to get involved when people say, well, there's devils in my house, or there's demons in my house, or there's this going on, and I sure would like it if you'd come over and pray. I got to be honest with you. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go where devils are. I don't want to go walking in with my Bible, acting like I'm the toughest guy ever in the whole wide world, because I got to be honest with you. I don't want to be around that kind of thing. Many preachers have met their demise because they can't stop studying about devils. I don't want to study about them. I'll study about Jesus. There's enough in there to study about him that I don't need to study about devils. I think you should know about your enemy. I don't think you should go over there and learn every day about your enemy. Knowing these things, can you imagine the stories that he told and how the wondrous testimony of what Jesus did for his life? The things that he could tell you, all the life that I lived and in the torment that I was in. And by the way, we live in torment from day to day, and know folks that live in torment from day to day. Would to God we'd introduce Jesus to them. Would to God we'd take Jesus to your friends. Would to God that we'd show them about the Jesus that we know. Would to God that we would run to Jesus when we were in torment. Would to God we would run to Jesus when we needed him. Would to God we'd run and see the Savior that wants to help us get through everyday life. If you look at this man, he saw Jesus afar off and ran and worshiped him. It must have been awe-inspiring to hear the joy in this man's voice over what Christ had done for him. I would challenge you today to not let your testimony get rusty. I would to God that our testimonies would stay bright and shiny in front of everybody's minds and everybody's thoughts. The great things that Jesus has done for us in our own lives. I know the life I used to lead. I know the wreck that my life used to be. I know the things that used to take my attention and take my time. I'm so glad that Jesus came. Oh, I know I'm still a sinner. But I'm so glad that I'm not in that life that I used to be. I'm so glad that that testimony is no longer my testimony. I'm so thankful that that past is in the past. I believe we ought to remember it. I believe we ought to think about it because of how great things that Christ has done. But I want you to notice there was a difference in Decapolis. Not everybody thought this way. You know, it's amazing to me that we see somebody, and by the way, I'm just going to take a moment here and talk about this. It's amazing to me how we see somebody that's blessed by God. They tell their story about how they're blessed by God, and it seems like there's always someone in the crowd that says, yeah, but you're lying or you're faking or you're telling something. It's amazing to me how somebody will doubt somebody else's salvation. Did you lead somebody to Christ? Yes. Well, I wonder if it was real. It's amazing to me how you'll see somebody that will decide in their lives to serve God, but yet in the back of your mind that, yeah, but you've said these things before. It seems to me there's always a difference in opinion. It seems to me there's always a difference in thought. It seems to me there's always a difference. And if you look at this Decapolis, there's just the same thing here. I want you to keep reading with me. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. One of the greatest tragedies in all of history. All that bacon dying. Good Lord. Man alive, that's a meat lover's pizza just running into the ocean right there. All the devils besought him, saying, send us into the bacon. Well, wouldn't you want to be sent into the bacon? Praise the Lord. Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And by the way, I've heard lots of messages preached about this, but you got to stop here for a moment. You know, you get right with God, you're going to start putting clothes on. Oh, come on! Hey, it's summertime! It's summertime and you ain't that good looking. There's a weight limit on spandex. Get mad at me all you want to. Get you a full-length mirror. You'll stop wearing it. I get my cottage cheese in the store. Thank you. You know what's amazing to me? The further away you get from God, the more further away you get from being dressed. Get mad all you want. Hey, fellas, let me help you out. You ought not have your shirt off either. You ain't Tarzan. She ain't Jane. You know, it's amazing to me how you see people at this time of the year. And by the way, I saw it day one. We had a nice day yesterday. I was out on the bike. Boy, it was fantastic. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh. That's about all the louder my bike gets. I saw it on the road. Kid couldn't have been more than 10, 11, 12 years old at the most. And almost no clothes on this kid. None. Girl. You know, I got to be honest with you. I don't see the need to show legs. This is hard for me, but let's leave Bible out for a moment. Okay? Let's just talk natural. Why do you want to show off your legs? What? The whitest child almost I've ever seen. Why would you want to uncover yourself? Now let's get Jesus involved. He says, thou art not. Thou art not. Thou art not. Showing the thigh is nakedness. What the Bible says. Take it up with the Bible. This preaching never goes over well because you're about to go to the beach. You're about to go to the lake. You're about to be in your swimming pool. And let me tell you something. I won't swim without a t-shirt on. Now you're all applauding that. Because there'd be spy choppers and everything. What happened with the eclipse? Greenpeace would come out and try to push me back in. I know. But let me help you a little bit. God doesn't want you to be without clothes on. God wants you to be all the way clothed. God wants you to have clothes on when you're out during the summer. Well, it's too hot. Yeah, but you're not. Getting back to the maniac and the pigs. The man that had the legion, he was sitting. You know, he's no longer running around to and fro. He's no longer running around and not being able to have any direction. Now he has a direction, and that direction was sitting at Jesus' feet. He was clothed, and he was in his right mind. There is a wrong mind. Otherwise, it wouldn't say right mind. I'm simple. I understand that. But in simplicity is great profundity. Love that word. I think I made it up. Here we are. Watching somebody that had no hope. Watching somebody that had no future. Watching somebody that, I want to tell you, this is what the world does. This is what the world does. Let me help you out. Let me help you teenagers out. Let me help you adults out. Let me help you senior citizens out. This is what the world does. You're asking for freedom. You're asking for, leave me alone. I don't want to be a Christian in all your rules. Let me explain something to you. There's a reason for the rules. There's a reason for the walls. There's a reason for the things that we preach about. It's not so we can stand up here and get red-faced and sweat and act like a fool. There's reason for the rules. Because the world will put you right here where the world put this maniac. Look at this now. His dwelling among the tombs. Now what's in the tombs? By the way, this is all foundation. Aren't you glad? What's in the tombs? Dead people. That's just gross. But that's where the world wants to put you. That's where the world wants you to be. That's where the world wants you to be comfortable around a bunch of dead people. We'll talk about spiritually for right now. There's a lot of spiritually dead people in the world, and there's a lot of Christians that act like they're spiritually dead. It's amazing to me how we can continue. By the way, Resurrection Sunday's next week. Preacher will be real happy and nice. Maybe. You'll Paul in the valley tonight. Come on back to Paul in the valley. Because that he had been often what? Bound. Wait a minute. I thought if you're away from Christ, the rules were gone. Oh no, now you're bound. You get away from the Christian life. You get away from the Christian ways. You get away from the Bible. You get away from God. You find yourself bound. Being sinful does not make you free. Being sinful does not make you free. Being sinful puts you in chains. Look at this now. He had bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him, but all men tried. It's amazing, the more wicked you get, the more wicked you get, the more powerful you become in that way. The more you seek it, the more you desire it. The Bible talks about a person getting drunk, and where'd he get his wounds, and where'd he get his redness of eye? Oh, I'll seek it yet again. You know, whenever I was a drunk, and I was, I'm not proud of that, it's horrible, sick. When I was a drunk, all I wanted to do was be drunk. All I wanted to do was have more of it. By the way, that was being in chains, being bound. Let me help you out a little bit. Let me preach a little bit this morning. Let me help you. I can still drink. I have the freedom to go back in my chains. I choose to not. I choose to be free. I don't have to choose to be free. I can choose to do whatever I want to do. Now, you might fire me. Maybe I ought to go drink. I don't know. You may fire me, but I can go back and I can do what I wanted to do. I can be in those fetters and I can be bound. By the way, if I do that, the Bible says I might as well have never been born. I would never want to do that, but I could. Or I can be free. Thank God I am free. Free, free from this world of sin. Amen. I've been bought with the blood of Jesus. See, what you got to understand is this. We live in a day and age where they're trying to teach you that being a Christian is being in bonds. Being good is being in bonds. You know what's wrong with a good life? What, there used to be unsaved folks that were good people. Now we're having a hard time finding Christians that are good people. You know, what's amazing to me, you watch this, always, look at this now, always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stone. How many, more and more, it's craziness, I never even knew this existed until just recently. More and more teenagers and adults alike are cutting themselves. What is the matter with you people? Taking a knife and starting to hack. My skin ain't that pretty to look at, but I'm not ready to cut it up. More and more. What are they looking for? They're trying to get out of their bounds. They're trying to get out of those chains and out of those fetters. I'll tell you where it's at. Jesus Christ is where you're going to find that freedom. Jesus Christ is where you're going to find. Jesus, you're not going to find it at the bottom of an alcohol bottle. You're not going to find it staring into the computer screen. You're not going to find it on your little handheld games. You're not going to find it anywhere but in Jesus Christ. That's where you're going to find freedom. That's where you're going to find freedom. That's where you're going to find freedom. But there's a difference. There's a difference of opinion. There's a difference in opinion, even among Christians. Preacher, you go ahead and preach hard, but I'm going to go home this afternoon and live the way I want. Preacher, I know what you're saying, but I'm not going to listen. There's a difference of opinion. There might even be a difference of opinion in this room. I don't think country music's that bad. If it's any bad, why are you listening to it? Somebody say amen this morning. Oh, you'll give me rock and roll. That's no good. That's no good there. But I start talking about country music where it mentions God every fifth song. Wait a minute. You can't stomp on that. That's because you're in chains. If you're not in chains, get rid of it. The amen stop. Let me tell you why I know it puts you in chains.
Music is one of the most powerful tools that God has ever given us. Music is. See, we always talk about the internet being real powerful. I believe music is much more powerful than the internet. Do you know how I know that? Because I still remember the songs I used to listen to. You can't remember a Bible verse, but you know the words to Shake It Up, Baby. You know the words to Twist and Shout. Don't you talk about the Beatles, mister! You think that's music's godly, you're in chains. See, music is powerful, and that's why I know we're in chains. We're in chains because we can't break loose of it. You've got somebody waving a flag and standing up with a standard and a banner saying, you better listen to things that are godly. You better do that which is godly. It'll free you. God can make you free. We choose to be in chains. It was so hard for me to give up the movies that I used to have. It wasn't DVDs yet. Be quiet. It wasn't DVDs yet. It was still VHS. Be kind, rewind was still the term. I had tons of them. Well, it was hard to give those up. It was hard to take those rated R movies and throw them out. But I wanted to be free. I didn't want them to bind me anymore. I didn't want them to keep me tied down anymore. My music that I used to listen to, and by the way, I was good at it. I had lots of tapes. What's sad is I had some of them too, but I just don't have the thing to play them on anymore. But I'm going to tell you right now, that stuff kept me in bondage. And I'm here to tell you, as your preacher, as a preacher here, it's keeping you in bondage too. You won't take a minute and get excited about the love of God. Do you realize the words to that song? Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry? You're not going to find that sung by Alan Jackson. You're not going to find that sung by Billy Say Cyrus or his filthy vixen daughter. That little whoremonger that's running around, all these boys chasing. Let me tell you something right now. This world is in chains today. Boy, you shouldn't take any more weeks off, preacher. You're too mean. The love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall evermore endure, the saints and angels' song. What are we going to seek today? But there's a difference in opinion. Jesus comes down and Jesus saves this man and does all these wondrous things, and we would shout hallelujah. And they that saw it, verse 16, told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. Look at this, verse 17. Boy, this happens today. Jesus did something wonderful and they began to pray him to depart. You know, ever something bad's going on, it's amazing how far away you want to be from Jesus. Huh? I wonder if while you're looking at pornography, if you've got your Bible on your desk. I wonder if while you're drinking alcohol, you're coming to Wednesday night service. I wonder if while you're doing your drugs, you're praying for the bus ministry. We look at these people and say, man, that Jesus did this wondrous... Wow! I mean, this man was nuts. I mean, this man was possessed. And Jesus, all the devils are gone. Man, Jesus, get out of here. I've got to liken this to our own lives. It's amazing to me that we believe in some semblance in our lives that Jesus isn't with you. You don't need your Bible staring you in the face to come to the realization that Jesus is in you. If your filthiness in your eye gates, Jesus is seeing it too. Jesus is doing the things that he's trying to keep you from doing the things that you're doing by making your righteous soul be vexed. And it's amazing to me as you watch Jesus do a miracle. It's amazing as you watch Jesus do something wonderful. It's amazing as you watch Jesus do something tremendous that there's people that will say, you better get out of here. What's the spiritual condition of man that doesn't want Jesus around? What's the spiritual condition of man when you don't want to pray? What's the spiritual condition of man when you don't want to read your Bible? What's the spiritual condition of man? You say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, you ain't doing anything right either. I'm not in pornography, boy, and I'm looking around thinking of some that might be. You're the one that's asking Jesus to leave. You don't want Jesus to figure out what's wrong with you. Well, I got news for you. He already knew. And here we're watching this difference in opinion and how sad it is that you've got one man that's shouting, hollering, getting excited about what Jesus has done, and then you've got other people saying, you've got to go. It's amazing how, let me put it where, can we live on the earth for just one moment? And well, they're true, but I'd like to get you to think. You get somebody that does right in their life. And you get somebody that wants to live for God. It's amazing how many people hate them. I'll use me because that way you won't be so mad. I'm glad you picked on you. There's a lot of times that we went soul winning. A lot of times people would come back, I want 7,500 people to the Lord today. And what, okay. Whatever. Maybe they did. Whatever. I'm not interested in that part. I'm interested in my part. You know, Brother Bill, the thought process came to me. Jesus, get out of here. There I hit home. There's the light bulb. You know why? Because I didn't win anybody. And if I'm not going to win anybody, I don't want Jesus around because I don't want Jesus to see how I feel right now. I don't want Jesus to notice the bitterness. I don't want Jesus to know what's inside my heart right now because somebody else was doing the work of God and I wasn't. Somebody else, let me tell you something. When somebody gets up here and tells you they win a soul to Christ, that's all of us. Every last one of us get credit for that, but how can we have bitterness for the person that did something for God? A wondrous, miraculous thing has happened and yet we feel bitterness towards the person that was made free. We feel bitterness towards the person that did right. There's nothing wrong with having a thought of, oh man, I need to do a better job and I need to become a better Christian or I need to do something better for God, and we ought not take days off. But when somebody comes up and says, man, glory to God, it's like a new convert. We're so sick as Christians. Like a new convert. Colton, oh, praise the Lord. Preacher, guess what? I'm so excited about God. This is what He's done. And then you're the mature, spiritual Christian. You say, yeah, wait, though. Bad times are coming. Psh. You might as well take a bucket of baptistry water and dump it on that burning fire of a Christian. Why? Because you don't want Jesus around. There's a difference in opinion. God is so good. Oh, He's really not. Boy, this is hitting home. Either you're sleeping or you're thinking. Here's what will help you. Get the maniac out of you. Get the maniac out of you. There's a difference in Decapolis. The difference is somebody loves Jesus and somebody doesn't. Oh, you're above it, right? Oh, no, I love Jesus all the time. Liar. You lie. But we ought to. We ought to want Jesus to be around. We ought to want Jesus. Let me tell you, let me ask you a question. If we were to break church right now and we went to your house, what would you say? Wait a minute, preacher. I got to put some things away. Huh? I tell all this. No, put the cat away. I used to tell this all the time. Preacher and I would go out every once in a while, visitation. It's almost like Jimmy Hoffa's coming to your house or something. I don't know what it is. I'm scared to death. But if you've got any type of windows, we see you running in the house. We see it. We can see. And you see preacher's car coming because it's a Cadillac, a white one. I'm sure he's told you about it. And we come up the drive, and we see. And we come up and knock on your door. All of a sudden, the house is quiet. And apparently, you've got every light in the house on a sensor that turns off. Why? We're not Jesus, I understand that. You just don't want us to see. You want Jesus to go away because of what's going on. Now, if you feel like I'm picking on you today, I am. I don't mean to, but God does. See, God wants us to live a better life. God wants us to do better things. God wants us to think better thoughts. By the way, I'm including me. I won't answer the door if you come either. But that ain't because of what's going on in my house. It's because I see you enough. There's a dissension of people. And this dissension is amazing to me that they don't want Jesus around. But as I deal with more and more people going throughout my ministry, I see more and more people don't want Jesus around. More and more people are content just to sit in this pew at invitation time. I'm not going to pick on you. But I watch people during invitation. And what happens is this. You get an attitude. You'll sit here, oh, preacher's preaching. I see your faces. You're looking my way. And you get more. You sink down further and further. Eventually you cross your arms. Then I know I got you. And it makes me want to go preach right in front of you is what it makes me want to do. And the invitation time will come and you'll stand up. White knuckle Christianity. God's dealing with you and you know it. God wants you to go forward and speak with him. God wants you to, but you don't want Jesus around. You'd rather sit there and be preached at and go home and eat your roast with no change. You'd rather do something here to stop God from coming. The maniac went to Jesus. The maniac went to the steps of the altar. He said, I'm sick of living in the cemetery. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this life. I'm sick of this life with no happiness. By the way, did you know lust is not happiness and satisfaction of lust is not happiness? Drinking alcohol is a satisfaction of a lust. Smoking a joint is a satisfaction of a lust. Looking at pornography is a satisfaction of a lust. It's not happiness. There's a big, huge difference. Happiness is not easily found because it's only found in a person. Yet you'll stay there and say, I'm going to stay in the cemetery. I'm going to stay in the tombs. I'm going to stay in a place where I can't be satisfied. I'm going to stay here. Why? Because I don't want people to think if I come up here that I'm seeking Jesus. But I got to be honest with you. You stay back there, we already know you don't want to. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I'm not trying to force an altar call. I hate that kind of thing. I hate forced altar calls. I hate when the preacher looks down and says, you sinner, you better come to this altar right now. But I got to be honest with you. Don't you think it's time we went? Don't you think it's time that we've decided to kick the devil out of our lives? Well, wait a minute. I'm saved. Well, the devil's got you on his radar. Jesus only saves. one person in Decapolis, just one. Don't you think Jesus made an appointment? I don't think Jesus ever did anything by accident. I don't think he got on the wrong boat and sailed over to the Gadarenes and, oh, hey, there's a maniac. How convenient. Nothing ever occurred to him. He got on the right boat, made the right trip, saw the right guy. By the way, you're the boat, he's the boat, he's the trip, you're the right guy today. He's coming to see you and he wants to know what you're going to do. Are you going to come to see him? But there's a difference in opinions because not everybody likes this. Not everybody wants to do these things. A lot of folks like to come to church just to sit in the pew to say that they came to church. Do you know why we have great church services on Resurrection Sunday? Because people think that's going to get them to heaven. People think, well, I went to church on Easter. What's funny is Easter is a pagan holiday. We celebrate Resurrection Sunday. Here we are looking at this man, but there's a difference in opinion. They wanted Christ to leave. But look what the maniac says. Look at verse 18. And when he was come into the ship, look at this now. They began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Jesus, you got to get out of here. Our bacon's dying. Look at this. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. I tell you what, Jesus does something for you like that, you'd want to be with Jesus Christ too. At least I think you would. Look at this now. Howbeit, boy, this is an interesting thing. Here's the difference in opinion. The people wanted him to leave. The maniac wanted to go with him. It's interesting to me that the maniac didn't ask him to stay. Oh, I think you should have followed Jesus too, but I'm amazed that the maniac didn't say, hey, stay here. Let me go with you. Nothing wrong with that. I find that interesting. Look at verse 19. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. Wait a minute. Jesus, I want to go with you. I want to be with you, man. Jesus, I could tell your story. Boy, I want to be with you, Jesus. I can show people. I was the man possessed with the devil. But here's what Jesus says. Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. There's a difference in opinion. The opinion of the maniac is, I want to go with you. Jesus says the opinion of Jesus is that you stay because I've got a holy calling for you to perform. They asked Jesus to leave. They didn't ask the maniac to leave. You know, in our Christian walk, I got to believe this is an educated church. I really do. I believe that this is an educated church. I believe this church knows more about Jesus Christ and His Word than churches all across the nation. I believe that. And although I would love to have all of us stay around this altar and pray for days, I don't believe Jesus suffers us to do so. I believe Jesus has something better for us than to sit at this altar. And there's nothing wrong with sitting at this altar. Please don't misread me. I believe there's a difference in opinion. I believe Jesus says, yes, I know this, but in many homes and many places and many lives, I'm being kicked out. And I think you ought to go and tell your friends the good things that God hath done to you. The difference in opinion is this. Jesus, I'd just like to walk with you. Jesus says, yeah, but I need you to walk for me. Yeah, but I'm not allowed here anymore. The people don't want me here anymore. There's nothing I can do, but your story and my words can save the soul in this country. Why? Because there's a difference in Decapolis. There's a difference in Decapolis. Just like there's a difference in Ravenna and a difference in Streetsboro and a difference in wherever you live. There's a difference. And if Jesus has done something for you, it's our job to tell them what Jesus has done. The people couldn't wait to get Jesus out of there. But the maniac stays. Let me show you something else here. As I started, something struck me. I want you to look at verse 10, and I want you to think with me for a moment. If you look at verse 9, we're speaking of the devils here, the legion of them. He asked them, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And this legion says, he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Brother Bill Turner, why would the devils want to stay in that country? I never saw that until this last week. Why would the devils want to stay in that country? Would they stay in a country that's successful for God? Would they stay in a country of people that are kicking them out? Would they stay in a country of people that are praising the Lord, singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound? Would they want to stay in that country? See, I believe for a lot of years in America, the devil stayed away. Why? Because we loved God. I believe now the devils want to stay. Why? Because they've got a foothold and are overtaking us every day. They didn't want to stay in that country because they weren't successful. They wanted to stay in that country because they knew the people didn't want Jesus there. And anywhere Jesus isn't, that's where they want to be. Now, I want to, let's rewind a little bit then. Oh, boy, I wish you'd get off this preacher. I'm starting to get aggravated. Well, get aggravated all you want to, because I'm going to tell you, where Jesus isn't, there they'll be. Where Jesus isn't, there they'll be. And they're going to want to stay, and they're going to hang around. Let me explain to you. The devils don't run from a fight very often, I'll be honest with you. The only fight they run from is the Word of God and Jesus Himself. I'm going to tell you, you better keep them out of your life. Because once they get in, Brother Jack, they're going to stay, and it's very difficult to get them out. As we watch this, the devils are asking, Jesus, please let us stay. Jesus, please let us stay in the Ballard household. We're having good success there. Jesus, they've asked you to leave. And if you're not there, Jesus, I think we'd have good success. Please let us stay. They're asking Him to let them stay in that country. No one in their right mind would want that. I said no one in their right mind would want that. But there is a wrong mind. We'll announce for 3 months the brand new inductees to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But you'll never hear them announce even 1 minute about a church service. As I watch these things, as I look at these things and I see them, there's a difference in how Christ deals with this man. He goes away, but He tells the man to stay and do something great for him. Then if you look at this, there's also a difference in the man because Christ went with him. Now look at this now. If you look at verse 20, the Bible says, "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him and all," how many? I said, how many? I said, how many? All men did marvel. Why? Because Jesus went with the man. Ha ha. Hey, you can't come with me, but I'm going to go with you. Ha ha ha. You can't come with me right now, maniac. I got a better thing for you to do. You can't come with me. I'm going to go with you. You can't come with me, but you're going to be able to take my story. And by the way, ha ha. It's easier for a drunk that's been reformed to help a drunk to get reformed. It is what it is, because you've been there. You can win somebody if you're not a drunk, but understand this. I've been there. I can help. I can help because I can help them get out of what I was in. The people aren't believing Jesus. They don't know Him. They don't want Him there, but they know the maniac. They've tried to bound Him with fetters. They've tried to hold Him down with chains. They've tried to stop Him from being that person that He was. And then Jesus came. And then Jesus came. And Jesus came and healed this man, got clothes on. And healed that man, put him in his right mind. And healed that man, calmed him down. I wish Jesus would come to school every once in a while, I'll tell you that. Because I'm about to bound some of these kids with fetters, I'll be honest with you. Get the devil out of them, I'll tell you. Likening this to your lives. I believe in this country, in this day, if Jesus was to come down here and preach, very few would show. Very few would show. Very few Christians would show. Got no time for him. Shoot, you might have a little league game going on. You can't go see Jesus. Oh, I knew I'd step on some toes there. I'm almost done, I promise. I just wonder when we're going to start taking what we do seriously. I just wonder if we're going to take what we do here and what Christ has done for us. I wonder if we're going to start taking that seriously. And what we can do for Decapolis or Ravenna. What can we do here? If a person knows who you were, a person knows what you did. I wonder if there's something that you can do with Christ's help. I wonder if there's something you could do right here. You know, it's not just preacher's job to get people saved. It's not just preacher's job to fill these pews. It's not just preacher's job to go out and tell people about him. It's not just preacher's job to pray or read his Bible. Although preacher should be the leader in all those things, it's not only his job. It's the maniac's job too. Jesus, let me come with you. No, but I'll go with you. See, there's a difference in opinion. The opinion of the man is, Lord, let me come with you because that's where I ought to be. Jesus says, no, the opinion is this. I'll go with you. Let's go win some people. As we go through our daily lives, and it's not easy to do, that's for sure, but you must understand this. There's a difference in the man because Christ went with the man. There's a difference in the maniac, and he made a difference in Decapolis because Christ went with him, because of what Christ did for him. There's a difference. Now, I wonder for this Resurrection Sunday, will we make a difference for Jesus Christ? Will we make a difference in Philippi? Will we make a difference and hand out a tract? Will we make a difference and tell somebody how great the services are going to be? Will we make a difference and show somebody about Jesus Christ? Will we make a difference and tell the wonderful thing he's done? Will we make a difference and show somebody that this is a loving and warm and wonderful church? Will we make a difference and say there is still a life that you can live that's a good life, a clean life, a holy life, and it is with Jesus Christ involved? You ought not want Jesus to go away. You ought to want Jesus to stay and go with you. As we go throughout this next week, I wonder what we're going to do to fill this church up. I wonder what we're going to do. And here's the thing that bothers me. We'll do it on Easter. Jesus rose all the time. His being arisen is still wonderful today, just like it is in the middle or end of April. I wonder what we'll do for him. By the way, I'm preaching to me too. What will I do? What will I do to make a difference for him? He made a difference in my life. Oh, my Lord, have mercy, he changed me. Oh, my Lord, have mercy, the things that he has done. He's given me a job. He's given me a calling. This is what you're supposed to do. Well, Lord, let me go be with you in heaven. No, you got a job down there. There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a difference. Don't want Jesus to go away. Get out of the world. Don't let Jesus, you want him to stay. You want him to be with you. And we can still live that way. It takes a lot of work. Very few people care anymore. I made a statement in Sunday school, and this will be the end. It was the end a little bit ago. What worries me about Christians is not that you're in the world. That doesn't worry me near as much as the Christians don't know they're in the world. That bothers me. That bothers me that you don't know. That bothers me that you're unaware that things that are wrong are wrong. In your preacher, we've been given a God conscience, a little light that says, hey, 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 that's not right. Hey, that's not right. Hey, that's not right. Half the people just woke up. That sounded like my alarm clock. Your little light in there is telling you, hey, that's wrong, but it's amazing to me how many people. It is? No, it's not really wrong. I can wear my two-piece bathing suit. It's all right. Come on, preacher. Is water not wet? Even when you have your clothes on? Seems like you dive in, your clothes are going to soak you. What's the whole thing about swimming? It's getting wet, right? Why do you want to get naked? Your little light should be going, don't, 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 don't. Why isn't it? I look at Christians and say, why is this an issue? Why is it an issue? Why would you want to wear spandex stretchy pants? Why would you want to walk around in scantily clad tops? And why would you want to walk around, guys, with your shirts off? That's it. I don't. What? You don't even know you're doing it. You don't even realize it's wrong. Wait a minute, preacher. I do realize it's wrong. Well, then we got a whole nother issue, don't we? Another issue then must be that we don't want Jesus to stay. I know this isn't very popular. I understand that. It is what it is. I know it's not popular. I wish it was. I wish it was popular. I wish that today we would make a determined decision in our lives to invite Jesus to stay. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I'm going to need help just as much as anybody else here. Lord, there's things in my life that I don't do and things that I should. And Lord, I would to God that you'd put a fire in me that wants you to stick around. A desire, Lord, to become more holy. A desire, Lord, to do things better and do things more right. A desire, Lord, to make you want to stick around. Lord, please. This man showed us, this maniac who should have no hope, who should not be the one doing it. He should not, but there he is, Lord. You made a trip across the sea to go and see this man. You made a trip, a special trip to go and see him. And Lord, I believe that you made a special trip to see me too. And what am I going to do? Lord, where much is given, much is required. And I believe that man loved you. I believe that maniac's in heaven right now. I'm very interested to talk to him someday. Lord, please help us as Christians here in this day and age when the world has become so lackluster, the line has become so gray, the water has become so muddied over what is right and what is wrong. Preachers have become just blowhards up there, Lord, that nobody listens to anymore. Oh, they'll hear what you say, but they're going to go home and do the same things they ever did before. Lord God, don't make our preaching thus. Don't make the things that we do be this way. Lord, please, let us not have a desire for Jesus to go away. Let us have a desire for him to stay. Lord, let us make changes in our lives, Lord, that would lead people to you, that would tell people all about you. Because, Lord, I believe there's a difference in opinion. I really do. I believe there's folks that don't want you around. What's sad is I believe there's saved folks that don't want you around. Lord, help us not to be that way. Help us have a desire to make our home somewhere where you'd always be welcome. Our lives where you'd always be welcome. Our thoughts where you'd always be welcome. Our music where you'd always be welcome. Our idle time where you'd always be welcome. Our daily lives where you'd always be welcome. Lord, help us all. Help us all, Lord, to make a difference in Decapolis. Help us all to make a difference right here in Ravenna. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say they know that they know that they know, 100% sure that if they died right now, they're saved and they would go right to heaven? How many know that for sure? You can put your hands up real big and tall. How many know for sure that if you died right now that you'd go to heaven? Praise the Lord, you may put them down. I could not see everybody, and if you did not raise your hand because you're not saved, I appreciate your honesty. I give you my word, I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. Because I don't know how you're going through life not knowing him as your Savior. I don't know how you're going through life not knowing him, because life is not easy. And this world wants to put you in fetters. This world wants to put you in chains. There's only one thing that can make you free, and it's a man. And this man is Christ Jesus. How many would say, you know what? I do not know the Lord is my Savior, but I sure would like to know. I want to get saved today. Could you put your hand up real big and tall? Would there be one like that today? Which means I'm speaking to a bunch of Christians. I'm begging you. I'm begging me. Let's do something for Christ. I'm begging you. I'm begging me. Let's make a difference in Ravenna. Let's clean up our lives and clean up our homes. You know, it's still right to do that. We do not have to live like this world to be in this world. We don't have to do the things that the world does to witness to the world. We can witness to the world, and we ought to witness to the world in a way that the world knows not. We ought to bring them Christ. And Christ does not come wrapped in a bikini. Christ does not come on a pornography site. Christ does not come in a bottle of alcohol or in a drug. Christ comes as Christ comes, His way, through His word and through His people. We need to make a difference in Ravenna, folks. Let's make a difference in Ravenna. We need to pack this building out next week and keep it packed out. Because I still believe Jesus is real, and I still believe His ways work. It's our ways that don't. Dear Jesus, I thank You so much for this morning. Oh God, please don't let folks take offense to this. I'm not calling folks out. I just want us to do something for God. I want me to do something for God. Lord, help us to make a difference right here in Ravenna. Going out, telling folks about the wondrous things God has done. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. What you singing, Brother John? 368. Come quickly, the altar's open.